and my message to you today. And the scripture is in Matthew 27 and starting at verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you king?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer them with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent in a message saying, this is Pilate's, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words of truth and enlightenment. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word to lead and guide us always in our walk for you. We ask that you bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express and help them to help you for each one of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things. And amen. My text to you today is Matthew 27 and 22. So let's look at this again. Matthew 27 and 22. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" He said, "Crucify him." These words are words that I think each one of us would have very much reservations within our heart and mind of the people who brought Jesus in to be crucified. And we would have very much reservations of the wisdom that they used in this regard, because we know that Jesus was perfect in all his walk and that he had done nothing to deserve this kind of reaction. I bring this message to you today because our focus during this time of the year should be on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Savior of the world. Part of the ultimate plan of God for all of mankind, that through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, that all of us could ever be restored in good standing to Him as we admit our faults and our shortcomings and even perhaps sins. And we call on the name of God through the blood of His sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And because of that, we know that He forgives our sin as we sincerely present them to Him and are committed to Him in our walk with Him. This is the time of the year that Almighty Father God, Yahweh of old, saw fit to bring His only begotten Son into the world as a little babe, a little baby. Through the miraculous conception of Mary, a virgin, but found with child as a virgin through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? And most people don't think of the birth of Jesus at this time of the year, but I want you to think of it because His birth was around this time of the year. All evidence point to that fact that it was late September, early October at Yeshua's birth. And also the evidence points that most likely one day Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth a second time. And He's going to come back as ruler and King, King of kings and Lord of lords. And His will be done in this world. Things are going to change. It's going to be drastically different. What more fitting time is it that the fall festivals come at this time? And at these fall festivals, that was traditionally a time that you give thanks and honor and praise and prayers to God for His provisions for the fall harvest. Blessings for you materially. What more fitting time is it that at that time of the year, Jesus comes to this earth with God's plan for deliverance for mankind? And that in the future, Jesus comes again to deliver, to bring officially for each one undergoing that new birth, bringing to them atonement for their sins. And so part of the fall festivals is the Day of Atonement. 1 week from today, you should be focusing on that future time that Jesus Christ is going to regather the ones that are ready. And the time of atonement, God's plan for mankind. And on with the festival of tabernacles, commemorating that time that Egypt was led out of Egypt, led out of bondage. And that time that God so miraculously worked in the lives of the children of Israel to fulfill His promises, at least partially, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in bringing them out of Egypt and into, again, the promised land. Do you see all of these rich shadows and types of this particular time of the year? That's what you need to be thinking about in these days leading up to the Day of Atonement. You need to be focusing your thoughts on our Heavenly Father, who has such a wonderful plan for us personally and mankind, that He's going to bring us into His kingdom, into His, we are in His family, but we're going to be united with Him and all the others that are of the family of God, and we will all be together forever and ever and ever, for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? And we have this time of the year to focus our thinkings on all of that. It's not just one thing, it's many things. And it's not just that we want to think of one event, such as the Day of Atonement. We want to think of all of God's plan for mankind. Throughout the whole year, it's very obvious that God wants us to be close to Him. He wants a personal relationship individually, each one of us, and He wants it to continue every day of our life. And obviously, He gave us these festivals stretched through the whole of His year, starting with Passover, starting with the first month of the year in late March, early April, and then going right on through this fall festival of the year with all of its implications. And of course, the festival in May that we have. So all of these, God gives us to focus our attention during the whole year to Him. And by my scripture reading and my text, I would like for my message to you today, my title of my message to be, Choose Jesus. Choose to be obedient to God's plan for you. Pilate raised a question at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, which we would know was at Passover time, not this time of the year when He was actually died and crucified. It was the same time as the Passover of old and the sacrificing of the lambs that was set aside for that. But we want you to see that Pilate put a question to the people. Who do you choose to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? And he poses a question. What shall I choose? What shall I do then with this Jesus Christ? As they told him, we want you to release Barabbas. In essence, they were saying, who do you choose? Who do you want for yourself? And we need to pose that question to ourselves. And we need to decide it's Jesus that we want. He was the perfect only begotten Son of God. This is very much a personal question that is posed to each one of us. Who do you want released to you? Who do you want in your heart and life? A question with eternal consequences. And we have a question, who is Jesus? And I'd like to go through some scriptures today with you in answering this question. Who is Jesus Christ? And in essence, Pilate was asking that. He is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He is the fulfillment. His coming through the birth of Mary, miraculously, divinely. Something happened because of the Holy Spirit of God moved upon Mary to cause her conception. Miraculous. He is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Let's see what Acts 10 and 43 says. Acts 10 and 43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. What could be better? God's plan for mankind. Let's go to Matthew 3 and 17. Jesus is called the Son of God. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased." Obviously, Yahweh of old spoke these words. "This is my son." Matthew 7 and 29. Let's look there and find out about who is this Jesus. Was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. He was not like the scribes and Pharisees. He was not like the high priest even. But he taught them as one having divine, miraculous powers and authority. And I think we touched on that last week. Jesus Christ had all authority in heaven and in earth. Remember our scripture? And who was it that gave Jesus Christ that authority and power? I'd like to present some chapters for you to read at home that is part of the prophecies of the Old Testament about the one who come, who was to be the Savior of the world. And that's Isaiah chapter 10 and chapter 11 and chapter 52 and chapter 53. And this is not all. But this is some that you can read later. And it'll be that it will be speaking of Jesus Christ, who was prophesied to come. Let's go to John 1 and 29. John 1 and 29. We're trying to answer that question, who is Jesus? And the first thing we're broadly speaking of is that this is the one that was prophesied of the Old Testament scriptures. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This was John the Baptist. And he was letting everyone know who it is. That in essence, John the Baptist was preparing the way, just as the scriptures foretold of the one who was to come to take away the sins of the world, Yeshua. He is your sin barrier. And let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 10. 2 Timothy 1 and 10. "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ is one day going to put an end to death. Death will be no more. It won't conquer man again. It will be an end. And we know that's in the future. We know it hasn't been up to this point. It is a prophecy. There will come a point in time in the latter days when death, the last enemy, will be destroyed. And who will put death in its place? Yeshua. Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4 and 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth. Let's go to Philippians 2 and 9. Philippians 2 and 9. Who is this Jesus? For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that wonderful? It's all planned. God has it all figured out for you. There's nothing for us to figure out. We try to understand all that God has written and given to us in His Word, but we know there are still mysteries that we don't understand, at least some. But thank God for His eternal plan for mankind through the sacrifice and blood of His only begotten Son. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Jesus is the one, Yeshua is the one that Yahweh has anointed to be your king, and He is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, there's wrong reactions to all of this. And some of the wrong reactions is that people may act as if they are unaware of Jesus' presence, even turning away from Him. And you may assume an attitude of complete indifference. Some people do. They say to themselves and try to convince themselves, I don't care. When they hear of God and God's plan for us and of the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, can you imagine that? That they would have that kind of attitude of don't care. They may try to forget that He exists. But you know, for most, it's just trying. They can't forget that He exists. It's obvious. It's revealed in all of God's creative works. They may evade Him. They may try to do like Jonah. They may try to run away from the word and instruction and the task that God has given. That's one way they try to deal with Jesus. run away. Go in the opposite direction that he is calling. And even some may be actively hostile and resentful. And as it were, some try to keep Jesus on the circumference of their life. You know, if you viewed your life as a ball, and you were in the center of that ball, in the center of your life, some would try to put Jesus in the very outermost part of that ball of their life, the circumference. Further his point away from them. Some treat Jesus and God's plan for mankind in that regard. But you know, we would hope that even if they place Jesus on the circumference of their life, that technically he is still within their reach, and hopefully they will come to their senses one day and be able to still reach out to Jesus and bring into themselves a life with him. That is God's hope. God sent his only begotten Son to shed his blood so that whoever believed in him, whoever, would have eternal life. God loves mankind. It was his greatest of creations. And he wants that personal relationship. He wants you to turn to him and always be turned to him and always be holding on to him, always be communicating with him. That's what your Creator wants of you. The proper responses that we need to have is that we need to receive him as an honored guest into our life. Let's look at Revelation 3 and 20. Revelation 3 and 20. Behold, Jesus says, Yeshua of Nazareth says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him. Be with me. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus wants to come to you. He wants to be a part of your life. But it requires you making a decision. It requires you opening the door of your mind and your heart to him in response of God's call, the Holy Spirit's tug at your heart and life. Receive him as the honored guest in your life and trust him as your dearest friend. Let's go to John 15 and 14. John 15 and 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You know, I've told you many times before, there's little important words in the Bible, and mainstream Christianity wants to leave them out. But I'm telling you, you don't leave them out. They're important. And those are those little words, such as if and but, B-U-T. They're important as qualifiers for what God has planned for us and his promises for us. And these scriptures says, Jesus says, Yeshua says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Listen and heed. Yeshua's teachings. As the one who received all power and authority from Yahweh. Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is the one who is spoken of in the Holy Scriptures as being the one that received all power and authority from the Father, from the Creator. And part of the plan of God is at the end, Jesus Christ Himself is going to turn all of that power and authority that has been given to Him by Yahweh, He's going to turn it back over to the Father, Yahweh, so that, as the Scriptures explain, God can be all in all in every one of us who are His children, who are in His family, all in all with Yeshua of Nazareth, His only begotten Son, and our Lord and Savior, and with the Father Creator, Yahweh of old. The loving and merciful and forgiving Father of old. And I'd like to say, if you want to read Scriptures on the power and authority that was given and to whom, and how it will be turned over again, this is in 2 Corinthians 15, 27 and 28. We need to be willing to follow Him as loving leader. Let's go to Matthew 4 and 19. Matthew 4 and 19. And He said to them, this is Jesus, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And let's go down to verse 22. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Yeshua. Jesus tells us, follow Me, just as He did them. Choose Me. I am the one who will provide for you, who will deliver you, who will sustain you. And He's there as a loving leader. Pilate knew the governor, Roman governor for Israel and Jerusalem. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. But he did the wrong thing with Jesus. He knew that he was innocent. He washed his hands in front of the people to show that he was turning Jesus over to them. He was trying to excuse himself of what was about to happen and of delivering Jesus for crucifixion. And for us, we have the choice of choosing Jesus just as they did, or rejecting Him. And I say to you, choose Jesus. You may reject Him rather than accept Him. You may deny Him instead of confessing Him. And you may shut Him out instead of letting Him come into your heart and life and mind. But I say, do the right thing with Jesus. Because more than anything else in the world, you need Jesus in your heart and life. And you need to fulfill Yahweh's plan for your life in opening your heart and mind to Him so that you may fulfill the commission of Jesus Christ into going into all the world and teaching of the things you know of Him and how He has changed your life for the better and how He can help change the lives of others who have not accepted Him, who do not know Him. Jesus needs you. He wants you to be of service to Him. But the choice is yours. It's never right to do the wrong thing with Jesus. It's always right and wise to do the right thing with Him. And we want to accept Jesus today. Don't make the wrong choice, as the religious people did, the hierarchy that was in Jesus' time that decided to crucify Him. Don't be one of those to your detriment. But accept the call of the Holy Spirit from God into your heart and life. Accept it and choose Jesus today. Like, if you would you stand with me? And we'd like to read the blessing of God to us and the blessing of us to each other. Let's all read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord,